The University of Detroit Mercy presents another encore presentation of a classic Ask the Professor radio program. Today's show takes us back to October 2004.
The University Tower chimes ring in another session of Ask the Professor, the radio show where you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Kathy Bush, and today we have a whole panel with us, and one of our panel members is doing some sound control, because the McNichols campus here of the university is going through some great rebuilding and refurbishment, but it is rather like the Marshall Plan, so it does get a little noisy on occasion. But let me introduce today's panel, and let me start with the man who was reconfiguring that window so it'd be nice and quiet.
There's plan.
Well, yeah, there is that. That's the voice of Professor Jeff Bowes.
Sup, yo.
Yo, okay. Word. Okay, and sitting down on the same side of the table, but down to the end of the table, from the College of Engineering and Sciences, it's Director of Pre-College Engineering Programs. It's Dan, the Dabset Man, Maggio.
I would say something M&M-ish, but it would be bleeped.
Oh, no.
So I'll just say hi, Kathy.
We can't do that. We can't have Michael's earphones just burn off.
You're more of a Reese's Pieces guy anyway.
Everybody in the 313, put your hands together and follow me.
There we go. Now that
right
didn't
out
have
of
to be bleeped.
Huh?
Okay. Go B-Dog.
Okay.
Well, there's a swear word in there. I just deleted it
good,
and reformulated
good
the rap.
Good woman. Okay. There we go. And sitting at the far end of the table next to Dan from the Department of History and the keeper of our abolitionist archives, it's Professor Roy Finkenbein.
Hi, Kathy. What is this? Everybody's reconfiguring, reformulating?
Everybody's just re
I need to come up with re-something.
Re.
You're
yes, it's a treadmill kind of world. It's not a treadmill, it's a dreadmill.
You're rehistorizing.
Anyway, and sitting around the corner of the table from the Department of Communication Studies, the digital department, it's Professor Jerry Kurtzinger.
Yeah, I'm mourning the loss of my free speech. I had a campaign sign on my front lawn yesterday at 12:15, and I returned home at 4-something.
Oh,
and it was gone.
No.
It was stolen from my lawn.
Oh, mother of
and,
God.
Well, at least you weren't ticketed for it like Grosse Pointe Woods.
Well, yeah, and I'm worried about it because I have a bumper sticker on my car, and I'm wondering if that same person will come and now try to steal my car.
That's
because
when
it has the same message as the sign
well,
on my lawn.
Well, that's when you get that pit bull with AIDS, and you just tie him up to that back bumper, honey,
I'm
and let it rip, okay?
I'm letting the locust loose here, you
I
know?
Say so. Oh, my goodness.
I'm telling you.
Who was the campaign
me?
Sign for?
Not the party that you see depicted in that photograph behind Kathy's
okay.
head.
Okay.
The other party.
The other party. So, my goodness. You know, this is getting very uncivil, and that
is
not necessary.
It is.
It really isn't necessary.
You must not have been invited to have a campaign poster.
Oh, maybe that was it.
I think you're right, Jeff.
Okay. And finally, at the other end of the table again, next, around the corner from Jerry, and on to my left from the Department of Philosophy, it's Chair, who brought down the delicious cookies from her departmental meeting. It's Professor Beth Aljar.
Good to be here.
Thanks for the munch, Beth.
No problem. You know, I was at Kroger, so it was okay.
That's, yes, indeed. The Kroger way to, do you have a Kroger's card, I hope?
Of course.
Absolutely.
Don't you find the attitude of the Kroger workers to be far nicer and superior? I mean, they seem to be happier than the Farmer Jack
yes,
workers.
Yes, why is it the Farmer Jack workers, they seem
I mean,
so harried?
You can't
things.
Find a bagger.
No, yeah, to you save know. Your life.
And some people, like, I'll just bag them.
I always
mean,
like
it's
to
not
bag
like
my own
a,
anyway,
you know, I didn't
yeah.
go to college to bag groceries, but I'll just do it so I can go home.
Oh, yeah, I want to get out of there. I don't, yeah,
a lot
I don't.
Of people won't do it. And,
oh,
just,
I know.
And the line just takes forever.
Forever, yeah. It's a very strange thing. But, yeah, you're right, the Kroger people in Dearborn, the one on Michigan
yeah,
Avenue.
Yeah, that's where I go all the time. Michigan and Outer Drive.
Yeah, that's it. And
yeah,
I love
very,
that shop.
Yeah,
everybody's
nice.
Is really cheerful. And, it, you know, everything you can find it.
And you go
brilliant.
Across the street and it's
oh,
like, oh, my God.
That's the reason I went back across the street.
Yeah.
Because Farmer Jack people were like,
scary.
I mean, they were, yeah, they were scary. They were angry people.
Yeah.
You know, the way they threw things in the bag, that's when I thought, honey, I'm packing my own. I really don't want to see anybody breaking all those
oh,
eggs.
Oh, that was your eggs, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Right.
Oh, well.
No, not anymore.
Now it's your omelet.
A glass
well,
of pickles.
If you want to send us questions about passive-aggressive behavior, how to pack a grocery bag, how to be more cheerful, how to steal a lawn sign.
And life in food service.
There you go. You can send us those questions, and if you stump the panel, you can get a fabulous T-shirt. And if you don't stump the panel, you still get a fabulous T-shirt. So what you got to lose? So you can do that a couple of ways.
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu. or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
And in fact, wow. No, again, that's just, was that a dumpster or what was that?
Sounded like a dumpster.
Get in the bomb shelter,
kids. Construction thunder.
Yes, it is.
Everybody get under your desks.
That's it. Talking really.
Cover.
Yes, the end is near. So we're going to start out our questions today with a set of questions from Bert Tilley.
Bert
the man.
And he writes, Dear Profs, I had some time to kill during Hurricane Ivan. So
I bet.
I mean, isn't that pathetic, eh? Poor soul. So I wrote a long set of questions. No, not quotes on Star Trek or classical music or that stuff, which I love to write a long time ago. No, this is a set of questions that are about the only thing that was working when the lights went out down here, which is the radio. Oh, my God.
The night the lights went
soul.
Out in Alabama.
In Alabama.
The lesser known sequel.
Yeah, you know? I asked my class that question the other day, what would you do without your telephones? And they all almost died in front of me. They went about spare. They
well,
couldn't imagine
them,
life without their phone.
Can I ask Tom today, how many people have a TV in your bedroom? And I was like, only a couple people did not.
Really?
And I said, that's the last place I'd put a TV.
Thank you.
Same
hello.
Here. And I have on my whole upper floor.
One girl told me, she says, my grandmother has a TV in every room, including the bathroom.
No way.
And
get
I was
out.
Like, and she was serious. This is a credible student. And I was like, well, I was sort of floored. I said, well, that's my philosophy. You'll learn something from me. And I definitely learned something from you.
I have TV in my bedroom.
Yeah. No, but in
not
your
in your bathroom.
No. I mean, come on.
Well, you know, you're watching the game.
Yeah, but.
Nature calls.
Too many pieces of pizza.
Yeah,
you know.
But. Okay, but in her dining room? Like,
don't
they watch television
yeah.
during dinner time?
Well, I've got one in the garage so I can watch CFL while I barbecue.
Sure, my brother-in-law does that when he's watching the Bears or listening to the Cubbies
yeah.
and he's digging around.
Every set
and,
in my
and,
house, yeah.
Yeah, but. And my sister has a little wee one
TV.
In the kitchen for the same thing for sports, but in your dining room? Oh, how awful.
Weird.
Ooh. Oh, we are losing it in this country. Okay, he said, I break the questions into three sections. First section is public radio. The second section is BBC radio. And the third is slightly old-time radio stuff. Oh, I'm adding a fourth, movies and radio.
Okay.
25 of 31 is passing.
Yeah. I'm going to say 81.5%.
Close.
80.6.
Oh, I was within
show off.
You were rounding off, isn't that it?
I was guessing.
You were guessing. Very good, though. Okay.
You did that already in your head?
God,
I hate
that's
you.
Brilliant altogether. All right. Public that was Radio good. International, PRI, was founded in part because of National Public Radio, NPR's decision not to pick up a still popular and well broadcasted and listened to radio program. Can you name that program?
They wouldn't pick it up in the cause and the form?
It seems like, yeah, that they were founded in part because NPR did not pick up...
It's not something recent like Prairie Home Companion.
It is
yeah,
Prairie
I was
going to
say, that's the Minnesota deal.
Yeah. Why wouldn't they pick that up?
Maybe they didn't like Garrison.
So the...
PRI, Public Radio International, picked up the program.
Yeah, what people die in jobs at public radio. They don't leave. They're good jobs. It's the same thing with public TV.
PBS is awesome.
Let's see. Both NPR's Morning Edition and ABC's Nightline share a common heritage. What was it?
American.
Well, there. Yes, that is very true. Bring it. You really
Ted Koppel's hairpiece.
No.
Nightline
passed down for
edition.
Generations.
Yeah, these programs were started to monitor a certain international political affair.
Oh, the hostages in Iraq.
Yeah. Not Iraq.
Iran.
Iran. Sorry, right. Yeah, the Iranian
See, that's
hostage
the problem.
Crisis.
We have too many Americans that don't know the difference, in the words of Alan Jackson, between Iran and Iraq.
Yeah, so both of the programs were started to monitor
Iran's
that crisis.
Iran's the country
crisis.
We gave weapons to first, right?
Yes, okay. That's right. That's
so and then we gave weapons to the other side so
to
they
offset
could
the crazy
off
guy on the other. Yeah.
I remember them picketing the news building downtown about the
yes.
Shah in 79,
mm-hmm.
and that was pretty weird.
That was
weird.
Huge.
Yeah.
That was hard on a lot of our foreign students
yeah.
at that time, too, here. That was very difficult
the
for them.
The interview Barbara Walters did with he and his wife was really, with Shah and his wife was really good.
Well, I mean, wasn't it during the Eisenhower administration that we put the Shah on back on the throne? So we had something to do with that lot, too. Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness.
Well, it was a Western.
Yeah.
Westernized.
Ah, the sounds of Reconstruction. Indeed. Okay.
This is an antebellum show.
That's right. Who walked out of a recent taping of Fresh Air after accusing the host
Bill
of
O'Reilly. Bill O'Reilly?
Yeah.
Terry Gross was on the Bill O'Reilly show last night.
That's
and he
right.
was beating her up.
Really? Oh, I missed that.
Yes.
You know, she's such a little wee person.
Yeah.
Public radio station WBUR produces a call-in repair show. Only, let's see, they invited local repair people plus four local mechanics to host the show, but only one showed up. And thus NPR was born. Can you name that show?
Isn't this famous Mike and somebody?
It's Car Talk. Where and what is Our Fair City in Car Talk coming from?
Our Fair City is Harvard.
Well, where is Harvard located?
In Massachusetts.
Yes, in Cambridge, Massachusetts.
Yes, Cambridge.
Question?
Yeah. Yes. According to fans of the show, everyone knows that the Yugo is the worst car of all time.
Yeah.
Okay. But according to a listener survey from Car Talk, which American-made car was second as the worst car of all time?
Pinto.
Edsel?
I would have said the total the same thing. Or the Pacer. I would have gone
it's
with an
not
AMC
an Edsel,
Pacer.
Though?
No, or it's made by Chevy. This is like a car of, I think, the 70s, 80s.
That little car.
Yeah, real.
Chevette.
Not a Chevette, no.
No?
Although
that is a bad car.
Chevelle. Same last name as a folk singer, Suzanne, who sang.
Vega.
Vega, yep.
Oh, yeah.
My Chevy
oh.
Vega.
Mary had one of those. Yeah.
So did my
sister.
It used
to blow up about 50,000
yes.
miles.
There was something that the engine would catch on fire because
yeah,
that's what
friend
happened
of mine
to my
had
sister.
It happen. Yeah.
But
yeah.
not because Pintos would get
well,
rear-ended
Pintos
at 30 miles an hour and the gas tanks would explode. And
well, and their whole exhaust system would drop like at a sneeze. I lost two of them on Puritan like within a year. I could not figure out why, what kept happening. It was such a low car that you constantly hit everything with it. It was really a piece of
It was actually very sophisticated. It realized the warp core was about to breach and it ejected the core. That's
yep.
Really? Well, all I can say is that then I got ticketed by the Detroit Police Department for a ticket
littering.
For excessive noise. No, because, and I'm thinking
they're
going to
say littering or something.
Does not generate. Oh, a Puritan? They would know the difference.
Well, I got a new nominee for that worst car. I forget who's making it, but there's like a tank SUV type thing coming out. It makes about 8 miles to the gallon.
A Hummer?
Hummer?
No, I think it's.
Humvee?
I think it's.
Worse
I think
than
it's,
the Hummer?
Yeah. There's
wow.
a new one.
You're kidding.
No?
It's bigger than a Hummer?
I wish I could remember the car make of car, but
why
I really don't like cars.
Why do you need
cars,
a
so.
Car that big?
You
I
don't
show everybody you can
need
have
a
one.
Car that big.
Okay.
That is the
thank
point.
You. Okay. Yeah.
When I see a Hummer on the street, well, some people may admire it. I'm
I don't.
Laughing.
Thank you. I just
wondering,
find it so
what
odd.
What kind of moron
well, no.
needs to drive around? I'm going to get, watch, people are going to come to this university and shoot me for saying it. What kind of moron is driving around in a huge vehicle like that? It's not
well,
necessary.
Dan,
you know who buys a lot of them?
$60 fill-up, man. You
I
know?
Was going to say.
I mean, if you're in the country, I can understand if you're in the country.
Yeah, if I lived up in the mountains
in the,
or something.
In the city, you don't need,
need.
That.
Have you noticed?
And for God's sake, let me be able to see in front of me. I'm really sick of
yeah.
driving behind these big vehicles where I can't see anything.
Yeah, oh, I know.
That drives me crazy.
But every other time I see someone in it, it's a young girl under 20, and I think, oh,
on
the
phone
parents,
too.
Uh-huh, the
on
parents
the phone.
Bought it for her. She's got her little tank.
And actually... I'm disappointed when I see a Hummer and they're
what?
Not.
I mean, it's not like you're going through the Berlin checkpoint or
that's
something.
Why, that's
I don't
why parents
get it.
Used to buy used Olds 88 for their.
Yeah, there you go.
They could have five options.
Nothing for me. It was like get out and get your own car, which is why I was driving a Pinto. So there we go.
See, and I blame the car companies for not putting out vehicles that are economical or functional, but simply putting out vehicles to make them money.
Well,
yeah.
So
somebody's
making
a... This is America, Dan.
Get,
what are you talking about?
Commie.
It's ridiculous.
You they make a lot of money on a you know, SUV. They don't
America.
Make money on a Focus, you know. They
no,
make little
probably
money
not, but I still
well,
love my
they
Focus.
Then they should figure
so
out why. They should
car.
Figure out how
Ford
to
Focus.
That.
Focus.
The Focus rocks. And when we think about that, let's take a break.
It's an Ask the Professor flashback.
I'm your host, Edwin DeWitt, and today we have almost all the regular panel with us. On my right, from the Department of Religious Studies, Professor George Pickering.
Hey, man. Pleasure to be here, as always.
Wow. That's the first variation in decades,
yeah.
I think.
Oh, no, I've been working up to it.
Okay, all right.
First the mustache, then pleasure to be here. What's next?
Yes. And on
as
his,
always, as always.
On his right, the woman he can't keep his hands off, the Department of English, Professor Claire Crabtree.
What can I say to follow that up?
I don't know.
Hello.
Say it was okay.
Yeah.
There are people out there waiting to hear.
Was it good for you?
And on Claire's right from the Department of History.
I don't know any of you.
Professor Sarah Gravel. And on Sarah's right from the Department of English, also Professor Hugh Kulig.
Well, I will just say hello and leave it at that.
I think that's the wisest thing.
You've done enough damage. It was because of you that we were whispering.
Oh.
These were quotations, and you were to guess who said them. Who said, "Never lend your car to anyone to whom you have given birth"?
Irma Bombeck.
Yes, Irma Bombeck, exactly. Philip yeah. Roth is a good writer, but I wouldn't want to shake hands with him. Who said that?
Somebody after putting yes. his complaint.
Exactly. And who was it? It was a woman.
Figures it would be a woman.
A writer. A writer of schlock, basically, now deceased.
Jacqueline Susanna?
Yes, I was going to say one of her novels was just reproduced by a computer, or a new novel.
Somebody's writing in the style of, yeah, you can call it style.
Exactly.
Well, she's not known to have shaken hands with anybody.
No.
What is the name of the Car Talk Russian chauffeur?
Drop-off?
Well, it
pick off and drop off.
What a great name! I love that. I guess one of the reasons I still love Car Talk so much is that one of the men particularly reminds me of George Pickering. His laugh and just his voice just makes me think of George. I have to admit that. So it's when I listen to it, it's just a special feeling. Now let's move. He said to BBC Radio. BBC Radio sometimes will choose not to play a song because of certain reasons. Here are a few songs that BBC Radio banned from their airways. You give the reason why the song was banned.
Cool. Ooh, this will be
cool
fun.
Cool question.
The BBC banned both the Troggs' I Can't Control Myself and Donna Summer's Love to Love You, Baby.
Yeah.
Too sexual.
For the same reason. What's that reason?
Sexual?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that the singers were imitating the sounds of what he calls sexual ecstasy.
Happiness. Yes.
Okay. What two Paul McCartney singles were banned in 1972?
What do you mean, they all weren't?
No, these were banned in 1972, and for different reasons.
Maybe I'm amazed.
The first one was High, High, High.
Oh, drugs?
No, not for drugs.
No, really?
Which I was...
It was banned because it was just that bad.
Because it was just that bad. Because of sexual overtones. It's
High, High, High?
Uh-huh.
What's the other one?
Give Ireland Back to the Irish.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think it's 72. Maybe BBC was not
really
banned, down.
Maybe I'm amazed.
Yeah.
You know,
I was
that's
say,
a great song.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. No, I do like his music.
I don't know
I didn't
High,
mean
High,
the first
High.
Time that I showed
it. I don't know that song.
Me neither.
You know what I mean?
It was obviously early Wing stuff.
Till the New Day Comes.
Is that it?
Something like that.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. I gotta start pulling out my old Wing stuff and see what's going on there.
You probably have to hear the lyrics.
Where, what's her name? Could never, what was her name? East Linda?
Poor man, Linda just could not say.
She was like,
I mean,
I'm not exactly
her,
a technical music expert, but I'm telling you, she never got any good.
That was
I mean,
not pipes, you know,
she was
going
no Yoko,
there.
Though.
Yeah.
Oh, no, that's another. Mm. That was the one that I
heard. Oh, Rock Lobster?
A commercial for this optometrist thing, you know, and they were making fun of, like, you know, John Lennon going like, well, I lost my glasses, and oh, this Yoko, oh, the greatest thing I've seen, and it was a commercial for an optometrist.
Oh, no.
You know, otherwise your life would wind up like that. And,
oh, no.
You know, and you need to have good glasses.
What seemingly innocuous number one U.S. hit was banned in 1959 by the BBC because they claimed it insulted the British.
Rock Around the Clock?
No, this is a song by Johnny Horton.
Oh, gosh. The Battle of New Orleans.
The Battle of New Orleans, yes.
Fought the bloody British at the town of New Orleans.
Specifically, the lyric reference to the bloody British losing made BBC ban
the
song.
Had nothing to do with the alligator and powdering his behind? That wasn't offensive.
They don't mention that. Maybe you can let Roy know about that one with the powder on that.
Well, they didn't
ban
God Save the Queen, though, did they?
Oh, and her fascist machine. Yeah, the Sex Pistols. One of the Rolling Stones' B-side became a hit song because many radio stations, like the BBC, wouldn't play the official A-side. What was this two-sided single by the Rolling Stones?
Under My Thumb?
No. There's a restaurant on. Is one of the names of this with the initials RT.
Ruby Tuesday.
Ruby Tuesday is the one side of it.
That's a great song.
That was the B-side. But the A-side, again, because of sexual overtones.
That could be a great name for a band.
Yeah,
the Sexual Overtones.
Let's Spend the Night Together.
Oh, right.
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, is that... gosh.
And Ed Sullivan, they had to change that to Let's Spend Some Time Together.
Time Together, together. Yes. That's right, yes. Well, okay. Here we go. This song was so outrageous that it was banned by the BBC. Its weekly music charts were rigged to avoid acknowledging that it was the number one best-selling single in England for several months. Even in its phony number two position, the song's title and artist were deemed unprintable. We just mentioned
God
this.
God Save the Queen.
Queen, yes, and Her Fascist Machine by the Sex Pistols.
I love them.
Rocked.
So did I. That was one of my favorite groups.
Never mind the bollocks.
Here yes, come the Sex Pistols.
Here come the Sex Pistols. Ed was such a great album. Which two 1969 and 70 singles were banned by the BBC for mentioning Coca-Cola?
Oh.
One song is by the Beatles, the other is by the Kinks.
Is it?
I'm the Walrus?
I'm not thinking of the right.
No.
Oh, Lola?
Lola by the Kinks, yeah.
Come Together.
Come Together by the Beatles.
Oh, there we go.
The Kinks actually changed the line to Cherry Cola that they recorded the song. Doing
such
champagne
a,
just like cherry
song.
Cola. But the
classic.
Beatles would not change their song lyrics, he notes.
Why should they?
They're the Beatles.
Why should anybody change?
There we go. The BBC also deemed songs unsuitable for airplay during the 1991 Gulf War. I will give you five artists. Give me the song. The first is The Bangles. This was a great...
Walk Like an Egyptian?
Yes, Walk Like an Egyptian.
Oh, my gosh.
But,
oh, my gosh.
But the Gulf War, I mean, wait a minute.
But
it's
such a serious
They weren't allowed to play that,
oh,
or
I know,
they did
yeah.
play it?
They said it was unsuitable for airplay.
The whole verse about cops and the donut shop. Tons of hidden meaning.
Well, the BBC, are we still on the BBC?
Are we still on the BBC?
Interesting.
That was a great song.
Walk like an Egyptian.
The land that gave us the pilgrims.
Right. Strange. Okay. Phil Collins.
Anything really.
Well, I was going to say, I don't mind them banning Phil Collins.
No.
This is so bizarre.
Sussudio. Just on the grounds that it's a really crappy song.
You would think that would do it, right?
Illegal Alien.
Give it enough.
That song did it for me.
I don't know this Phil Collins song, so maybe...
Illegal Alien?
No, that you might think. In the Air Tonight?
Oh, yeah.
What? Actually, that's one of his few really, really good songs. The music for that is...
So why would they...
The open,
well,
man, the first episode
during the Gulf
of Miami
War, at
Vice.
A certain point, there were lots of things in the air tonight.
Yeah, but he doesn't mention Scuds or missiles or anything that
Maybe
way.
Maybe that's why.
Didn't anybody else watch the pilot for Miami Vice?
Yeah.
Where he's driving along and all of a sudden, and they're playing that song, and all of a sudden he stops at a phone booth and he calls his ex-wife and he says, "Was anything about us real?" And this song is playing. And I mean, it was great.
Yeah, I can't figure out. Donny Osmond.
Because it was
go
prop.
Away, little girl.
Was it
purple something?
No, nothing
One bad
purple.
Apple.
Donny soldier Osmond. Of Love?
Oh, God.
Oh, geez. Because it had to do with a soldier?
Well,
love?
That's what I'm saying. Does anybody know this song?
No.
I didn't know that Donnie was releasing in 91. I had no idea he was still recording.
Oh, I forgot we were 91. I was thinking about the Donnie I had a crush on when
or maybe
I was six.
This was earlier, Donnie, the whatever. The Animals.
War? Oh, that's the band. Never mind.
No.
Yeah. Sorry.
The Animals.
I don't know that.
I don't know.
We got to get out of this place.
Oh, yeah.
Tears for Fears.
Everybody
That's it.
Wants
don't
to
ban anything by them.
Okay,
please.
But again, everybody wants to rule the world. What? I don't see this connection.
That's the theme
the
song
War.
To Real Genius, the
yes.
best movie ever made.
Thank you. That's a great.
I mean, I'm
tune.
Sure you can go into any song and find the lyrics that you say
is
questionable,
so
depending on how you interpret it.
Okay, I guess.
Interesting.
I guess. The Beatles, "I'm the Walrus."
Goo goo jube.
Was banned. Very good. Was banned by the BBC because it contained a certain word. The Ballad of John and Yoko was
Knickers.
Edited by the BBC to remove a certain word. What were these two bad Beatle words?
Knickers?
Knickers is the one, yeah.
It's in the Walrus.
Right. And this is from the Ballad of John and Yoko.
I don't know that one.
I mean, God, when you think about things today, knickers doesn't exactly seem...
I'm thinking of the lyrics to that song,
know,
and nothing's sort of springing to mind.
The word Christ.
Oh.
Okay.
Christ,
so,
you know it ain't
Christ,
easy.
Christ, you know it ain't easy.
You know how hard it can be.
But, okay.
Another classic.
Strange but true. I mean, I wonder what the BBC does about rap. I'd love to know what their policy is on
they
rap.
They have no rap.
Well, actually, BBC
maybe they changed.
3 used to have a program... called Black Friday. I'm not kidding you, that played nothing but African-American recording artists. Because, cool. I mean, it was my favorite BBC listening when I went to school in Ireland. And every time I've gone back to Ireland on a Friday, I've tried to find it, and it still plays. Huh. So,
cool.
Yeah, so I thought that was real odd. Okay, now we get to the category, he said, of slightly old-time radio. Name the announcer or the show most associated with the following catchy or not-so-catchy remarks. Wind up your radios. Huh? My, you're all too young, I knew it. Oh.
I was looking at the oldest of us.
Oh, thank
you.
Dr. Demento. Oh. Dr. Demento. Okay, we're going to leave these here, but these were so good. And we want to thank Bert, and let me also thank our panel, Professor Oljar.
Later.
Professor Finkenbein.
I'll be back.
Professor Meschio.
Thanks, Kev.
Hey, you're welcome. And Professor Boats.
Dr. Domino's okay, but the Pab Sungenis project is better.
There you go. And now this word.
It's an Ask the Professor flashback.
I was in a Harmony House yesterday buying a CD, and the clerk, when they took my credit card, asked if I were the guy from Ask the Professor.
Did he give you a discount or a freebie?
No,
or?
But he asked a lot about George.
Were you in Livonia?
No, I wasn't in Livonia.
Mr. Magnet.
That. Our next set of questions comes from Catherine. Now, this is Ledesma. Is it Leedsma or Ledesma?
Is it from
Grand Rapids? No, from Crowley, Texas. So,
wow.
I don't know how it's pronounced. I probably mangled it. Anyway. I have finally mustered up the courage and the questions to send to your program.
Good.
I've listened to you for many years and lost you when KHJ changed to K-Earth in Los Angeles. By the time I caught up with you again, Professors George and Sarah had become chairs.
And the rest of us are end tables.
Poor babies.
It's a function of age.
In 1995, I moved from Orange, California to Crowley, Texas. Thank goodness KRRW 97.9 FM has enough class to carry you all.
Hey.
You have helped this 50-year-old blind woman through a difficult adjustment period. Every Sunday night, I hop into bed, put on my earphones, and at midnight, giggle silently under the sheets.
Just don't get caught.
From the neighbors.
Time to get to work. I have chosen some questions on sports,
ooh,
to which I know all or some of you will know the answer.
Oh,
so
no.
This is our worst.
Since I can't tell the difference between an autograph and a photograph, it doesn't matter to me how many you get right or wrong.
We'll dig up a keychain.
We'll do something.
We'll find something.
God, we'll come and move your furniture.
Yes, I just wanted a chance to star on your show. If my answers are wrong, blame Reader's Digest.
We'll send you a couple of chairs.
You come to Detroit, we'll put you on the show.
How nice that somebody actually cares about us.
That's wonderful.
Much.
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
Ask the Professor is transcribed in the facilities of the Briggs Building basement on the University of Detroit Mercy's McNichols campus. Ask the Professor was produced, technically directed. Everything was done by Michael Jason, our hero, and our executive producer is Dr. Barbara Bowles. So until next week, I'm your host, Kathy Bush. Go Detroit Lions!